Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, you made it through the rain. Great job, man. You know, this is typically the time where I share a joke. I think it's good to laugh in church. You can't laugh in church. Where are you going to laugh? Real hard pressed, though, to come up with any good jokes on New Year's Eve. You ever go that, just Google New Year's Eve jokes? Wow. They are lame. They are really lame. And I was talking, my family was asking me last night. I had my daughter and her husband and my two grandsons in, and they had to leave and go back, but we were all talking about, and they said, well, what do you got? And I shared some of the jokes, and man, it wasn't working. My family's pretty tough, but you have to also understand the level of humor in my family. Like Joyce, one of Joyce's favorite jokes, she just thinks this is really funny, is what do you call a bear with no teeth? A gummy bear. That's high-level humor right there, I'm going to tell you. And then my daughter, the one she just thought was hilarious was a man told his wife that she was painting her eyebrows too high. She looked surprised. If you'll come back next week, I promise you they'll be better, okay? This morning, as we start a new year, many of you have heard the phrase, new year, new you. I don't know there's a lot of truth to that, but there is something special about a new year. And I think what's special about it is you just feel like it's got a lot of promise, it's got a lot of hope to it. And many of us have made New Year's resolutions. I think it's next Friday that they call Quitting Friday. That's when everyone abandons their resolutions they made at the beginning. I'm talking to other people who aren't here or watching online, but they call it quitting Friday. I think one of the challenges with New Year's resolutions, oftentimes people make these leaps instead of steps. And, you know, like, for example, I'm going to read the whole Bible through 5 times this year. And you haven't even read the New Testament once last year. That's a big jump. Start with the New Testament. We got a Bible. We got a great plan. Start with Bible 365. It's a great plan. But you just don't want to take this huge leap and then get disappointed then. I still like setting goals. I like to have goals. I think if you shoot at nothing, that's exactly what you hit. And so, man, I've got physical goals. I've got mental goals. I've got spiritual goals. One of my spiritual goals is this year, I'm committing to reading the Psalms through every month. Now, that's 5 Psalms a day. Now that I'm out there in public, I know some of you are going to be keeping score. You'll be like, how you doing? How you doing, Pastor? I'm going to look at you and go, how you doing? But that's a spiritual goal. You know, a physical goal is, you know, I want to drink more water. So 6 bottles of water, you know, a day. And so if I don't shoot for that, though, I don't hit it. So that's okay. But let me give you something this morning that I think is the best goal. And I think we'll have the best results is that you have a closer connection with the Lord this year than ever before. You come closer to Him. I'm not saying quit your job and stay home and pray and read your Bible all day. I'm just saying that you have a closer connection with Him. Because I can tell you this, I know this, there will be things that happen this year, some of them good, some of them bad, but I will promise you, if you have a closer connection with the Lord this year, you will come through the end of this year and you will look at me and go, listen, God brought me through. I am doing better than I've ever done before. My family's stronger than it's ever been. We're doing better. So this is a great goal. And I will talk about how you get there, but here's one of the things we got to understand. One, you can do this. That you have the capacity. I think sometimes people think of a goal like that. They think of a spiritual goal, and they think, ah, you know, Alan, I'm not a preacher, or I'm not in ministry. I don't have that capacity. Listen, if you've made Jesus your Lord, if you've been born again, you are a new creature on the inside. You have the capacity to do this. And so the capacity to come closer to the Lord, it's not Him stiff-arming you. He's not the one holding you back, so you have the capacity. Here's one of the biggest, most important steps you'll ever take. Believe that you can. Just believe you can. A man came to Jesus one time. He had a son that was demon-possessed and just had a difficult time. The disciples couldn't deal with it. And he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you can do anything, Lord, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus answered him this way. He said, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. All things are possible. I know sometimes we hear athletes and they stand up and they're 6'4", they weigh 225 pounds, they have no body fat, they're amazing athletes, and they stand up and go, man, if you got a dream, it can all happen, man. If you just have to dream. No, if you are 6'4" and you got a rocket arm, you can be a quarterback. If you are 5'10", 165, it ain't happening for you. But here's what can happen for you. If you want to come closer to the Lord, you can come closer to Him. You have the capacity to do that. You got what it takes. You just have to believe. And the first step is just going, Lord, I believe I can come closer to You. Just start there. Lord, I believe I can come closer. A number of years ago, back during the days of the 10 evangelists, there was a Texas league. I think it's a AA league, baseball. And there was a team out of San Antonio that was leading the league. They had 9 guys batting over 300. They were killing it. And then the bats went cold. And they lost 17 out of the next 20 games. And they started thinking defeat. And so instead of standing up there and just thinking, we can win this game, they begin to think defeat. And so there was an evangelist that came through town. His name was Reverend Slater. And he was having meetings. And there were miracles taking place. God was using him mightily. If you look up the healing revivals in the 40s and 50s, God used some people amazing, and healing are taking place. And so the manager, Josh Riley, the manager of the San Antonio team, gathered all the bats up, put them in a wheelbarrow, and took them to the tent meeting. And he had Reverend Slater pray over every one of the bats and bless the bats. Now, whether or not you feel like that lines up with your theology or not, just hang on just a second. Because when Josh O'Reilly brought the bats back, he stood in front of his club. He said, these bats have been blessed. They have miracle bats. They've been blessed by Reverend Slater. And immediately, the batting averages jumped up. They moved back to the top. They won the state Texas League that year. Not because those bats were blessed. It's because they believed those bats were blessed. And they said, believing that's where the power is. Listen, it's not in who you were. It's not in what your background is. It's not in who your family is. It's not whether you've been to church all your life. It's if you believe you can come closer to God, you can come closer to God this year. And I got a guy that is the most unlikely guy to make a connection with the Lord. He's in the New Testament. He's well known to you. Many of you know this story, but I want you to see it with new eyes. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Small man makes a big connection. His story is here in the book of Luke. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, because he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained. Said, he's gone to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he's also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Good story. Zacchaeus was probably the most unlikely guy that you would ever think would connect with Jesus. I think sometimes we have this idea in our minds of who Jesus loves and who he doesn't. But God's not looking on the outside, he's looking at heart. And Zacchaeus, man, he was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, you have to understand, in the Jewish culture, they hated tax collectors because they worked for the Romans. And they would often hype up what taxes you paid, and then they would pocket the difference. And Zacchaeus became rich. And so I can tell you right now about him, he had to be a tough guy, because you're looking at people going, I can't pay and I can't pay. And he's like, you're going to pay. So you're a thick-skinned individual. You're a tough guy. You are not the guy that anyone thinks wants to connect with Jesus. But he'd heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see who he was. And so he went to the place where Jesus was passing by, and he's short, so he can't see over the crowd, and everybody hates him, so no one's going to let him through. He's like, excuse me. And they're like, stand right in his way. He had a desire, though, because when the Bible gives us some details, there's a reason. It tells us he ran ahead and climbed up a tree. He ran and climbed up a tree. There's a desire there, a want to. He hit a roadblock. He found a workaround. He's like, okay, I can't get over here. He ran. He climbed up a tree so that he could see Jesus. So he had a desire to see Jesus. But then he also had a desire to connect with Jesus. Because when Jesus came under his tree and looked at him and said, hey, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I need to stay at your house. The Bible said he came down fast, hurriedly, and received him joyfully. How many of you know there's a difference between when you want to do something and when you don't want to do it? Your mentality is different. Someone says, hey, I'm buying. Let's go eat steak. You're like, yes, let's go. Or when your spouse says, we need to clean the garage. I'm coming. What are you doing? I'm clipping my toenails. I'll be there. We're slow on things that we don't want to do, but Zacchaeus came down and he was excited that Jesus was going to stay. Received him joyfully. Now listen, Zacchaeus could have passed on that. He could have passed on that invitation. Jesus wasn't going to force him out of the tree. Jesus, no big angel going to knock him out of the tree. He said, come down, I need to. Zacchaeus could have said, Lord, I appreciate that. I really do. I wanted to see what you look like. I heard about you. All I wanted was just a glimpse, just to see what you look like. No thanks. He could have said, Lord, I'm busy today. I got colleagues coming over. We got strategizing sessions. We're going to talk about how we can raise more money and get more money from these people. Lord, I'm busy. I got plans. I'm busy, but I appreciate it. But no, thank you. He could have said, Lord, I appreciate that. I'd love to have you come, but I got a reputation around here. I'm known as a hard guy. I'm a hard man. You come stay in my house, people might think I'm soft or religious or something like that. And that'll hurt my reputation, hurt my business, Lord. But that's not what he did. He came down and he received him joyfully. And the connection he made with Jesus changed him. So many people won't change. But that connection with the Lord, it'll change you. Zacchaeus, when he knew that Jesus valued him and accepted him, it changed him. Because Jesus was the most dynamic man in Israel at that time. You think Taylor Swift is big? Nothing. And Jesus didn't charge. He was free. And I won't go there. But you know how big she was in that tour she did. Jesus was a bigger deal. People trying to touch him. He's done miracles. He was the biggest deal in Israel. And he came to Zacchaeus' house. When someone comes to your house, that's an honor. You honor someone when you go to their house. And you don't want just anyone coming to your house. That's an honorable thing. And so Jesus came, and Zacchaeus, for the first time, he felt like he was accepted and valued by Jesus. And he's accepted and valued by Jesus. He's accepted and valued by God. Because the religious people had turned him away. They thought he was a sinner. They complained, oh, Jesus has gone to eat with a sinner. They're all blowing him up on Facebook. Jesus has gone to eat with a sinner. I don't know why. We're a sinner in town. Jesus goes and eat with them. It's amazing who Jesus wants to connect with. And a lot of times we think you got to look a certain way. You got to have a certain background. He's looking for heart. And in Zacchaeus, he found someone that had a heart hunger for him. And when you find a heart hunger, you meet God right there. And Zacchaeus, it changed him. And he realized, if This man accepts me, God accepts me. And that did away with the sting of rejection of the religion of that day. And it changed Zacchaeus. He called Jesus Lord. Jesus never made Zacchaeus do anything. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, I tell you, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. I'm going to give half? You're a wealthy guy. If you can give half, he said, and if I've ripped anybody off, this is Texas version, if I've ripped anybody off, I'll give him four times as much. So in other words, if he ripped him off for 10 grand, he'll give him 40. That's a change of heart. But when he knew Jesus loved, valued him, accepted him, it freed him up for the potential that he had. It freed him up. Because here's a man who had money and had power, and it wasn't enough. And when he knew he was loved by God, it freed him up to be a blessing. A change. Coming to a closer connection with Jesus changed him. A closer connection to Jesus will change you. It'll change me. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. You can always come closer. If you're brand new, you can come closer. Just make a step. Let me show you some of the ways you can do that. Here's the first. His promise, your move. You know, people say, oh, I wish I was back living in a day where I could just see Jesus. I got news for you guys. Jesus is not going to be showing up on Tuesday at Market Street or in downtown Willis on any day. I wanted to give Cut and Shoot a break, and so... He's not going to show up that way, but his promises are just as real to us. His promises is what we hang on to. We can't see him in the flesh, but we have his promises, we have his word, and we have his Holy Spirit. We can actually have a closer relationship. Because only so many people could get to Jesus at that time. People are trying to touch him. Only so many people could get to him, but you can get to him today. Look what, here's a wonderful promise. This is in Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That's a promise there. You say, well, and that promise was to Israel and because they were coming out of captivity. No, God hasn't changed. If he had plans for Israel, he has plans for you. You're not going to come to the Lord and go, Lord, do you have a plan for me? And he's going to go, you know, I hadn't thought about it. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan, and it's not a plan of disaster. It's a plan of good. It's a plan to give you a future and a hope. And then all he said, if you'll pray, he'll listen. If you'll look for him, you'll find him. Jesus said the exact same thing. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. It's your move. Oh, his promise, your move. You got a promise. And so you just move on that. You got that. Now, here's the deal. You can come to the Lord for two reasons, two ways. You can come because you recognize right now in your life, gosh, I need God. I got some problems. I got situations that I'm facing, and they are difficult, and they are hard, and I don't know what to do. Listen, you can come to him, and if you're coming to him in that condition, you are smart because he's got answers for your problems. He's got answers for your situation. But when those situations work out, stay with him. When the pressure's off, stay with him. Be like blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10. He was blind. Jesus healed him of blindness and said, and when he could see, he followed Jesus in the way. When your situation gets solved, follow him. Just stay with it. That's the first reason. It's necessity. Here's the second reason. Just out of desire. Just to know him. I love that song that Justin sings. Just to know you. I just want to be in your presence. I want to know you. You're the smartest. You're the greatest. You're the wisest. You're the most merciful. You're the kindest. You're the strongest. You're the most amazing person in the universe. I just want to know you. I just want to come close to you. That's desire. That's desire. You just have a desire to know him. Let me solve the difference. Say, why? Alan, how can I know him? How can I see him? How can I know him? I can't see Jesus. He's not coming by. How? You start with his word. You always start with his word. Jesus is speaking. He said this in Mark. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was saying, listen, just like food feeds you naturally, you know, I know all of you, no one is looking at this year going, I'm just not going to eat. Whole year, that's my resolution, not going to eat a thing. You won't make it the whole year. But listen, the same thing applies spiritually. You just want to go, no, this is not a duty. This is life. This is spiritual life to me. Because when I begin to hear His words, I begin to hear what He's saying. I begin to see what He's like. I begin to know His ways. It won't all come at once. But every time you pick up your Bible and read it, it will feed you. You say, well, Alan, I can't tell I'm being fed. Listen, you can't tell what you ate last night that it fed you unless you have indigestion. But God's Word will not give you indigestion. It will help you. It will strengthen you. And this is how we start. So all you got to do, listen, begin to read His Word and just talk to Him. Pray. And we'll talk more about that. Not today. I can't get into all those today. But boy, will it make a difference. Boy, will it make a change in you. And listen, guys, here's another thing. When you start, some of you are like, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. Well, when you hit a roadblock, don't quit. When you hit a roadblock, don't quit. What do you mean a roadblock? Well, a roadblock is one morning you wake up and you're like, man, I don't feel like doing this. Don't quit. A lot of you are not going to feel like going to work tomorrow morning, but you like having a job. And so you're going to go anyway. So just go. Don't let feelings stop you. Don't let the patterns of the past. Well, you know, I always quit. I'm a quitter. No, you're not a quitter. You're a believer. So don't quit. And how about distractions? You get distracted. Don't get distracted. And just there's so much to distract you now. Little girl was she was eating with her family, and she had some peas on her plate. And her dad said, "I need you to eat your peas." And she said, "No, I'm full." He said, "No, honey, just a few peas left. I need you to eat them." She said, "No, if I eat any more peas, I'm gonna pop." And He said, "That's a shame because we're having pumpkin squares with whipped cream tonight." And those were her favorite. She pushed her plate back. She said, "Bring on the pumpkin squares." He said, "I thought you were going to pop." She stood up. She's about 9 years old. She stood up. She said, "This is my vegetable stomach and this is my pumpkin square stomach." She said, "My vegetable stomach is full. My pumpkin square stomach is empty. Bring on the pumpkin squares." Can I help you with this? We get filled up with too much other stuff. There's stuff on the internet. Listen, you can spend hours watching YouTube pictures of cats and animals doing weird things. And you just get filled up with some other things like, I don't have time for God. You do have time for God. Back off of this, fill up on this, and you come closer to Him. If you make a mistake and you get discouraged, just get back up. Come to church. We're going to love you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to get you going in the right direction. Don't quit. Here's the second thing. Your connection, closer connection, brings tangible change. Here's what happens. You start coming closer to the Lord, and you begin to realize it's a growing realization that Jesus loves you and values you and accepts you. And it's a growing realization of how blessed you are because you have a connection with Him. Because you're connected with Him, you're blessed and favored of God. And you're thinking, Alan, I don't feel too much blessed and favored. Well, it's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of what God says. And He says you are. But a lot of times people feel like, no, I'm kind of second class. When it comes to Christianity, I'm a second class. I'm a Christian, but I'm a second class. No, you're not second class. If you belong to Him, there is no second class. I read a verse a number of years ago, and at first reading, it may not make sense, but stay with me just for a bit. This is out of the Psalms. David says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter." When I saw that, I thought, David is saying, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I'm going to go through them, and I'm going to praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. And so many people are standing back going, no, I can't enter in that gate. I can't go in that gate. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. And if you belong to Him, that you belong to the Lord. You get to go in the Lord's gate. That's like a VIP gate. Got two big angels standing there going, who are you? You go, I'm with Him. Well, then come on in the gate. I've been treated like a VIP twice in my life, once by accident and once on purpose. 21 years ago, when the Super Bowl came to Houston, it's remembered as the wardrobe malfunction gate. See, that's everybody remembers that. Couldn't tell you who played, but I remember that. Okay. So we're going down there. A friend called me. He said, "Hey, I've got tickets for you and Philip. Do you want to go?" And I'm going to be very honest with you. I did not pray about it. He said, "Do you want to go?" I said, "Yes." Yes. So we're going to the Super Bowl. Victor Ostick and his wife Marlene were going. Marlene worked for a big wig at Exxon, and they had like special parking, and they were in the box seats. We were in the box seats. But they said, "Hey, why don't you ride down with us?" I said, "Okay." So Philip and I in the car, yeah, black Yukon. So we're going down there, and we're in the traffic. And we see two buses go past us. Team buses, one of the teams. We don't know which team. And Vic pulls out and follows behind the bus. So Vic's a big guy wearing dark glasses, and Marley, they look like security. We all look like security. We all got dark glasses on. And we're going by, and the policemen are waving us through. We are going past all that traffic, trying to get to the... Man, we're just blowing past all of it. We went right up to the gate. We didn't stop for anything. But the whole time we're there, we're like, "Oh, I hope we don't get caught. We just keep going. I hope we don't get caught." We didn't belong there, but we took advantage of it. Don't tell the law enforcement, but it's too late. Statute of limitations has run out. And so, but we didn't belong there. And so, but it was VIP treatment. Second time, I was invited by Joel and Victoria to come down and preach at Lakewood on a Wednesday night. And so they told us to come in this entrance here. And this was a Wednesday night, this was a few years ago. It was a small crowd, only 5,000 people there that night. And but we pulled into this entrance and they stopped us. I'm sorry, "Oh, yes, Pastor Clayton, come on in." And man, we drove into an underground garage. Wasn't too many cars around and a whole lot of security guys. And when they see us, they weren't going, "Who are you?" They're going, "Hey, Pastor Clayton, Joy." And Michael was with us and Christina. And they invited us back to a special door. And we went through a special door. And we went into a special room where only the family sat. And we were like, we were VIPs. But this time, we weren't barging in. This time, we belonged there. Let me tell you something. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you get to enter the gates of the righteous, and the blessings of the righteous belong to you. You get to come in that gate. And if someone goes, "Who are you?" You go, "I'm not an imposter. I'm with Him. And if I'm with Him, I'm good to go." I walked out of there that night. I walked in through this tunnel that the Rockets used to walk through, going in there, and Joel Osteen is with me. Nobody stopped me because I was with Joel. And no one's going to stop you because you're with Jesus. And if you're with Him, everything that belongs to Him belongs to you. And so you could go, "Lord, thank you. The closer I come to you, the more I realize how much you love me. How much you free me up to release all the potential that I have, because I got so much potential. Thank you, Lord, that with you, I'm blessed. With you, I'm highly favored. With you, I can change. It's a change for the good." Would you bow your head for a moment? Please, no one leaving. We'll be out of here in just a couple of minutes. But if you came today and you said, "You know what, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord." Maybe you're watching online. You say, "I don't know where I stand with the Lord. I really don't. I'm not sure, but I want to be." Or maybe you're like I was at one time. I had a relationship with the Lord. I walked away from Him. And maybe that's you today, but you came to church or you're watching online. We're going to do something different this year. The greatest thing you can do is reconnect. And He is standing there with open arms, ready to receive you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not going to have anybody stand up. We're not going to have anybody come to the front. But I'm going to ask you this. If that's you, one of those situations applies to you, say, "Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to." Or, "Alan, I know I've been away from God and I want to come back. Would you pray for me?" We're going to do that. But I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you slip up your hand real quickly and wave it at me? Say, "Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." His hands have gone up all over. Anybody else say, "Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me?" Thank you. Appreciate your courage. You can bow your, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to pray. You know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is he knew Zacchaeus' name. He knows yours. He loves you and cares for you individually. He wants that connection for you. Anybody else? Say, Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. We're going to pray the prayer. Obviously, you're online. I can't see you. But we're going to pray this prayer together. I'll lead you in it. We'll pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. With head still bowed just for a moment. Thank you. You've been so good. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that have prayed that prayer. Thank you for those who've come to you for the very first time or those who've come back. Now, Father, for everyone sitting in this auditorium, everyone who's watching online, everyone who will see this online as well, Lord, we just thank you that you've given us the capacity to come closer to you this year. And closer to you, a closer connection to you, is the best thing we can do. Thank you. We believe that. We'll walk in that. And it'll be a good year. And you'll get all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.